Lord Jesus, right now, I just bless Malcolm. I thank you for him, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love for him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hold on to our people. Well, Lord, we bless him. We bless him in your beautiful name. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as he continues to walk with you, you would bring him into a deeper and deeper relationship with you, Lord Jesus, every walking moment of his life. Amen.
Okay, Nicole Francham, are you in here?
How many of you guys are really connected in here and working and serving God? And that doesn't actually mean that you're awesome, though. That means that God is awesome. It means he's so awesome. So, yeah, let's celebrate that, which is what we've been doing. This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians again. If you were here last week, we talked a lot about what God has done for us and who we are now. And this week, we're going to move on a little bit from that and stick with it also a bit. So, first of all, how many of you have seen The Matrix? It's an old movie. Lots of you? Yep. Yes. I love The Matrix. I thought it was an amazing set of movies. My husband does not quite agree with me, but that's okay. But if you haven't seen it, the basic sort of premise behind it is that robots have taken over the world and humans are now being farmed in pods for the energy that their bodies generate. Now, obviously, humans aren't really going to like that, so they're not conscious. And they're all hooked into the Matrix, which is a great big computer game. Okay, so what's like a computer game? The humans don't know they're in a computer game. They think they're living in real life. So they're walking and moving and breathing and having normal lives in this game, which is not reality. And then there's a bunch of rebels who have woken up. They've come out of their pods, and they're on a mission. They're on a mission to destroy the robots and to save the humans. So we have Neo, we have Trinity, we have Morpheus. There's a lot of pretty cool people there, and they're all working through their own stuff. But the thing that I like about that story is that once they are woken up out of their pods, which looked like death, really, they go through an adjustment period, and they have to get used to how much time has been lost in a reality that's not real. They have to get used to living and moving in a world that is not pretty. It's dead and it's been destroyed in a lot of ways. And then they have to deal with the grief of all of the humans that are left behind that they need to go back in and save. So they get reinserted back into that matrix and have to live differently in there to wake people up and bring them to reality so that they can be saved. So with that story in mind, let's read our passage for this morning. If you've got your Bible, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the NLT. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So this passage doesn't stand alone. It follows on quite strongly from what we looked at last week. So towards the end of chapter 1, in verses 19, it says, and I should have remembered that, and I haven't. It says, it refers these people, the Ephesians, to how Christ was raised from the dead and the incredible power that God had to use to do that. and that we are in fact saved by that same incredible power. So it's not lesser, it's that same thing that raised Christ from the dead. That is how we have been saved, by the same power. And then we move on to this, where Paul is explaining to them what they used to be like, who they used to be when they were dead in their sin. And to me it looks, you know, it's easy to look at a movie like The Matrix and see that could be a little bit of an image of what it's like. You know, when we're not yet walking in the fullness of who we are in Christ, when we haven't yet accepted him as our Saviour, it is as though we're dead. We're not living in a reality where we have love that is affecting us and changing us, and where that love is flowing out of us into the people around us. So we were like we were dead, and then we are saved, and now we are alive. And what does that mean? It means heaps, and we don't have time to talk about it this morning. But what I wanted to talk about this morning is that this is what we have seen here today. So today we have pulled up loads of people who are volunteering and doing stuff, not just in church, but also in our community ministries around us. And I know for me, when I look at that sometimes, I feel pressure. I feel like I have to raise the standard. If I'm not giving enough time, what does that say about me? If I'm not ministering enough, what does that say about my faith? If I'm not evangelizing every single day out there in the community, what does that say about what work God has really done in me? But I want to stand here before you today and say that's a wrong way to think. It's not a helpful way to think. And it's not the way that God intended you to think. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. I don't think that's how God wants us to think. You see, when we're saved, when we're brought into this new reality, we had nothing to do with it, excepting for to accept it. So when you're saved, you are made a new person in that moment, like that. Absolutely new. Whether you feel like it or not, you're made a new person. Part of becoming that new person means that you now live differently. And it changes exponentially quick for some people. And we look on the outside and see that and go, far out, that's amazing. And it seems to go really slow for some of us. And we look inwardly and we go, God, what are you doing? I don't know. And so I sat down with this passage here and thinking about this particular verse that's printed on all of your things. This one here. That you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us to do long ago. The good things that we have celebrated here this morning, they happen not because we have heroes in this church. We do have heroes in this church. You're all heroes in this church. But it's not because we have heroes in this church. The good things that we see happening here are because of who we serve. It's because of Jesus. It's because of who he has made us to be. It's because he changes our outlook. He changes the way that we see people around us. He changes the way that we value our time, that we value our resources. And slowly we come into this new reality. It's like waking up out of those pods. And sometimes you get a shock, right? This is not right. This doesn't feel good. I don't like sacrificing here. But sometimes it happens gradually and you get eased into it. And so what I want to challenge you with today is to think about what that means to be doing good works. So good works is not just being involved in a ministry and giving up loads of your time. It isn't. Doing good works is not just helping the family down the street who needs it. It's a lot of things. The good works that God inspires us to do, to motivate us, that he challenges us to do, I believe they happen in all areas of our lives. These good works, they happen in your own families with your children. They happen in your own families with your parents. They're the way that you choose to speak to them. They're the way that you choose to love them, to encourage them, to inspire them. That is the good works that Christ has made you to do. They happen when you stand up for someone who can't speak for themselves. They happen when you teach your children to stand up for someone who can't speak for themselves. These are these good works that God has planned for you to do. They happen when you take the time to share a cup of tea with someone who's lonely. It's a good works that he's planned for you to do. They happen when you talk to that mum outside the classroom who always looks grumpy and is often alone. Those are good works. They happen when you meet the eyes of the person who is serving you at the gas station and you treat them like a person instead of just an employee. That's the good works. And here's the thing, our lives, they're to be characterized by this. There's no days off. So you don't have, okay, I do icons on a Monday night. The rest of the week is mine. I can do whatever I like with it. This is not the family that you've been adopted into. You've been adopted into a family that has a culture set by God, where he is saying, this stuff, you're my children. This is what we do in our family. This is how we live in this world. This is how this world looks at this family and sees that something is happening here that is more than us, that it's God. It's what draws people in. Recently, I climbed the Sladen steps to the lookout, and I won't bore you with all of the details of what was going on in my body where I felt like I was dying, but I did make it to the top. And I've been at the gym quite a bit this year, trying to get my health back on track, but I've been sick, and as a result, hadn't been for about 6 weeks. So climbing these steps, I was fighting a battle the whole time in my head of just, I don't want to do this, I want to go home, why on earth did I agree, why did I get pressured into this? Meanwhile, my crazy friend has started at the bottom and is running up and down these steps 3 times. I got to the top and I sat there for a while, I took some photos, I breathed and I thought, how can I get out of getting down from here? But it's not an option either. But what I want to point out from that is that fitness is a bit like Christianity. When you stop, when you give up, when you decide, you know what, I've done enough. I have sacrificed enough. I've had my heart broken enough. When you stop, you go backwards. It's like fitness. You don't stay on this plateau where, okay, I'm at this level and I'm safe here and I can stop living for Jesus and I can pick it up when I'm ready. Our faith is not like that. Our faith is like our fitness. It is something that we need to be keeping at and keeping at and keeping at. So in every area of your life, no matter where you serve, whether it's in a ministry or whether or not it's in your family, every waking hour of your day, you're now characterized by being his children. You're now characterized by living as a new person. And no, we're not perfect straight away. We're not. We're humans. I know that. I get that. And I am that. I'm not perfect. But we keep trying and we keep looking and we keep asking him to show us who's in front of us today, God. Who is it that you want us to share with? Who is it that you want us to be kind to? Who is it that you want us just to meet their eyes and treat them like they're a human? That's my challenge to you today. So this morning we have celebrated our volunteers and they've been incredible. They are incredible. But you know what that says to us? It says that the God that we serve is amazing. He is amazing that he works in your lives such that you give up time, that you give up your energy to come and serve here. Yes, you're great, but you know what? God is so much greater because you wouldn't do it on your own. You wouldn't. This is how he's made you to be. This is how you're characterized as being his children. And I think that's incredible. We're out of time, so I'm going to pray and then we're going to go. And in the spirit of volunteers, can you help us pack up some tables? That would be great. Father, we do honour you for our people here. We honour you for our whānau. We honour you for the time that is given, for the effort that is given, for the energy that is given, and sometimes the heartbreak that is experienced through doing things for you and with you. Lord, we thank you that you draw us into service. We thank you that you choose to do stuff with us, that we get to partner with you and be a part of what you're doing in this world. We thank you for the privilege. And Lord, we ask you to keep teaching us, keep changing us, and keep making us to be more like yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're done.